Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. This is Chapter 5, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And we are beginning the next section, beginning with verse 13. Krishna speaks. When the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of nine gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. Comment. No one thinks, because I live in a city, I am the city. A sannyasi does not identify himself with the city of his material body. Neither does he think of himself as doing nothing. He endeavors, but knows that success ultimately depends on powers beyond him. He thus offers the results of his activities to the Supreme. And what result does he achieve in such consciousness? Text 14. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Comment. Srila Prabhupada explains, quote, the temporary body or material dwelling place which he obtains is the cause of varieties of activities and the resultant reactions. Living in such a conditional atmosphere, one suffers the results of the activities of the body by identifying himself in ignorance with the body. It is ignorance acquired from time immemorial that is the cause of bodily suffering and distress. As soon as the living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he is in the city of body, he appears to be the master of it, but actually he is neither its proprietor nor controller of its actions and reactions. End of the quotation from Srila Prabhupada's purport. The comment continues. The living entity within the body does nothing. Krishna, just to emphasize the point, even repeats the words na, N-A, three times. Nakartavyam nakarmani nakarma phalasam yogam. The conditioned soul does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he control the fruits of even his own activities. All this happens by the modes of material nature. Who then controls the modes of material nature? It is the supersoul. Often, though, after understanding the omnipotence of the Supreme, people wrongly conclude that the responsibility for all actions and reactions falls on him. Quote, because the supersoul is the doer, he must also be responsible for my sinful actions. Why then should I receive the reactions for what is being caused by the supersoul? To remove this misconception, Krishna speaks the next verse. This is text 15. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Comment. Krishna is advancing his description of the progression of transcendental knowledge, which will take us from knowing ourselves as souls to being liberated by becoming fixed upon the supersoul. Basic transcendental knowledge allows us to understand that we are not our bodies. From text 14, we understand that the modes of material nature controls our bodies. Both the modes and the living entities are controlled by the supersoul. Although the supersoul is the ultimate controller, he is not responsible for the living entity's activities or the reactions to them. The fault in arguing that, quote, because the living entity is not the doer, he must not be responsible for his actions and their reactions, end quote, is that the living entity, though not the doer, is also not completely aloof. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, quote, the Supreme Lord does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life, and thereby, by his chain of actions and reactions begin. A living entity is, by superior nature, full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. That's the end of the citation from Srila Prabhupada's purport. The living entity, the comment continues, must accept responsibility for his own actions. The Srimad Bhagavatam purport to 1087.25 states, although the soul is in truth both conscious and active, the proponents of Sankhya philosophy wrongly separate these two functions of the living force, Atmani, Ye, Sa, Bhidam, ascribing consciousness to the soul, Purusha, and activity to material nature, Prakriti. According to the Sankhya Karika, 19 and 20, Tasmat Sa Viparyasat Siddhim Sakshavtvam Purushasya Kaivalyam Madhyasyam Drastratvam Akart Bhavascha. Thus, since the apparent differences between Purushas are only superficial, being due to the various modes of nature that cover them, the Purusha's true status is proven to be that of a witness, characterized by his separateness, his passive indifference, his status of being an observer, and his inactivity. That was the 19th verse. And the 20th, Tasmat tat samyogat acetanam cetanavad ivalingam guna katriptve api tatva kateva bhavat yadasinaha. Thus, by contact with the soul, the unconscious subtle body seems to be conscious. While the soul appears to be the doer, although he is aloof from the activities of nature's modes. That's the end of these two verses. Srila Vyasadeva, but the commentary, the BBT purport continues to that text. Srila Vyasadeva refutes this idea in the section of Vedanta Sutra 2.3.31-39 that begins, Karta Shastratvatvat. The jiva soul must be a performer of actions because the injunctions of scriptures must have some purpose. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan in his Govinda Bhasi explains, the jiva, not the modes of nature, is the doer. Why? Because the injunctions of scripture must have some purpose. Shastrata tatvatvat. For example, such scriptural injunctions as swaga kamo yajeta, one who desires to attain heaven, should perform ritual sacrifice, and atmanam eva lokam upashita, one should worship with the aim of attaining the spiritual kingdom. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 1.4.15 are meaningful only if the conscious doer exists. If the modes of nature were the doer, these statements would serve no purpose. After all, scriptural injunctions engage the living entity in performing prescribed actions by convincing him that he can act to bring about certain enjoyable results. Such a mentality cannot be aroused in the inert modes of nature. That's the end of the citation. From the purport to 1087.25, the comment continues. But yes, because there's still a lot more in the comment, I think we shall continue it very soon, Krishna willing. So this is explaining how the living entity, he is the doer, and therefore, even though he's not the complete doer, he's the doer, and therefore has to take responsibility for his actions, because he, as the doer, will get the reactions to his activities. Okay, Hare Krishna.